Welcome to the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I'm your host, Zach Zimmerman, and today we're going through the show that aired on June the 1st, 2016, taped a couple weeks ago, May 19th, at Full Sail University. This was one of the shows that they taped at that somewhat abbreviated set of tapings to get them, enough episodes in the can to get them to the TakeOver The End special, which airs next week. And as a whole, I thought this taping did a pretty efficient job, pretty effective job of building up the matches that need all the attention, building up, guys like Andrade Almas, who's going to be making his debut there. Just as a whole, I thought these last 2 or 3 weeks have done a good job of gearing things up towards this live special. But that doesn't take away from the fact that this live special does just feel completely randomly plopped on the calendar. And, as strong as this card looks on paper, as good as I know the show is going to be, this is probably like the least hyped, the least excited I've been going into a TakeOver special. And it doesn't really feel like it's reached that crescendo where it's time for everything to, come to a head in at the big special. Especially not when it's called The End. But of course, I'm sure we'll all be watching the show next week, and I'm sure it will be impressive like all TakeOvers are. Where it ranks on those TakeOver specials remains to be seen. But yeah, on paper at least, that lineup is pretty killer, and I'm sure it's going to be a strong show when the time comes. But before we jump into this week's show, this is an all-access edition, which means even all you freeloaders are getting a chance to listen to it. It is my turn to plug ProWrestling.net membership. Guys, if you're listening to this on the free side of things, clearly you're aware of ProWrestling.net. Clearly you enjoy what we do to a certain extent. The coverage on the websites of the live shows, of all the news. We give you guys a pretty decent sampling of audio here on the free side too, with Jason's daily updates and then the occasional bonus audio, for example, this NXT audio that you're getting right here today. But on the membership side of things, it's a very, very affordable price. If you go to ProWrestling.net, top of the page, you'll find the link there. Find all the payment information you need. It gets you, first of all, ad-free access to the website, which is awesome. Once you get rid of all those pop-ups and flashers and banners and whatever else is on there, you're never going to want to go back. But where the real money is made is on our audio selection. I mean, again, we give you a decent sampling on the free side, but you're going to get everything every week if you're a member. You're going to get audio reviews of every television show that airs in the wrestling world. You're going to get Will and Jake's Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, and you are going to get Jason Powell's .NET Weekly audio show with, sometimes it's just with one of us guys from the site. Sometimes he kind of, goes above and beyond and pulls in someone like a Jim Ross or someone like that to co-host with him. Always just a good discussion on the news and events of the week. Particularly this week, you'll want to check out Jason Powell's .NET Weekly audio show to hear all things brand extension. Obviously, that's the big hot topic right now in the wrestling world, with the announcement of Raw and SmackDown going separate. And so Jason will be back today to discuss all things brand extension, and so you can look forward to that. But only if you're a ProWrestling.net member. So head on over to the homepage, check the link out at the top of the page, and I highly recommend it. Before I was writing for the site, I was a satisfied member. But with that out of the way, let's jump right into the show. Again, this is the show that aired on June the 1st. We got it kicking off with the new opening video. Same old music, which, I'm kind of calling for new music at some point here in the very near future. But nonetheless, at least they've taken one step and gone with a new video. Just the old one is getting a little bit old, and some of the people who are featured in there aren't guys who are featured super heavily on NXT right now. So they did a good job of just updating the video to kind of reflect the talent that they have there now, and the stories and the personalities and the characters and the champions, all that stuff. In the arena, we had the Revival making their entrance in street clothes. They came to the ring to cut a promo. Dash said that at TakeOver, they will become the first two-time NXT tag team champions. Scott Dawson said that, which I guess is true, as a unit, they'd be the first two-time tag team champions, but I think Neville is the only two-time tag team champion right now. Because of course he did it with Oliver Gray and then with Corey Graves as well. Dawson said that they had the decency to admit that American Alpha, they're great little amateur athletes, but the bottom line is we're professionals and we hit harder. He was carrying on and carrying on, and then they were interrupted by the music of Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. As they hit the ring in a hurry, the commentators did note that they've been on a roll. They've picked up wins in the last couple weeks, and anybody who gets in their way has a serious challenge at their hands. Once they got to the ring, the Revival just said, are you guys lost? What the hell are you doing here? We're top guys. You don't belong out here. Ciampa said, for top guys, your time has already come and gone. Everybody knows that me and Gargano are already better than you guys are. Dawson called, he said, You guys are just those undersized bearded guys who everybody loves. You think you're special, but you're just good hands. Ciampa said, "You know, that sounds a lot more like you guys than it does us." The Revival took credit for boosting the tag division, just said this renaissance that it's facing right now is because of us, and they told Ciampa and Gargano to get back to the bingo halls where they belong. Ciampa mocked them for losing the tag titles in Dallas. Dash mocked them for never holding titles to begin with. The Revival walked out of the ring, but as they turned their backs and walked out, Gargano kind of spoke up finally. He said, "You know, for top guys, you guys run away pretty fast." The Revival turned back, re-entered the ring. Once they did, though, they ate a couple of drop kicks from the baby faces, and they were tossed out of the ring. They jacked, jaw-jacked from the ramp. The Revival yelled at them, "That was the biggest mistake you've ever made. We'll see you in the ring tonight." And that was that. A short time later in the show, we got the announcement that Regal had made the tag match official for the main event. So, not the most gripping opening segment, you know what I mean? None of these characters or story, you know, none of these characters in this were super hot. It's just not the most gripping segment, but I thought it was efficient and effective. I thought that it was nice, insofar as they've been giving Gargano and Ciampa wins in the last couple of weeks. So now to kind of give them a little bit more of a presence other than just in-ring workers, now they have a little bit of a voice. They're guys who can go out there and tell people what they want to do, who they are, what, you know, what their goals are, that kind of thing. I think it was a step in the right direction for Gargano and Ciampa. And the Revival, as much as I hate to admit it, that undersized bearded guys who are good hands, like that kind of is the Revival. I mean, they're a really good tag team, and they belong here, belong in the mix. But I kind of just see them as the heel foils to the good babyface tag teams like the Garganos and the Ciampas that we're going to be seeing. And then, you know, teams like the TM61, things like that. So, I mean, again, not the most gripping thing, but it definitely wasn't bad by any means. I don't really have any major critiques of it at all. And it's going to lead to a, well, it would end up leading to a solid tag match later on in the show, so no problems there. We went backstage. Shinsuke Nakamura was asked about his match against Austin Aries at TakeOver. He pondered and pondered, and he said, "I think Austin Aries is going to bow down to the King of Strong Style." Hit one of his poses, and he walked off set. We got Austin Aries versus Elias Samson hyped for later in the show, as well as Corey Graves' sit-down interview with Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. We then got a video package hyping the cage match main event at TakeOver The End. We came back into the arena, and we got the Perfect 10 Ty Dillinger making his entrance, and he was followed by Buddy Murphy, who, as the commentators noted, has lost his tag team partner, has lost his girlfriend, but has managed to get his first name back. First match of the show, Dillinger versus Murphy. This is a match between two guys who, as of a y you know, a year, 2 years ago, I mean, put it this way, there was a point where these were two of the most routine enhancement guys that we would see in NXT TV, so a little bit hard to get excited about it. I want to see them do something with Dillinger, who clearly has the crowd behind him. He has all the talent that he needs. A win over Murphy, I guess, is not the wrong direction, but it's just, you know, it's a teeny little shuffle forward rather than taking an actual step. But anyway, we got kind of the standard stuff that you get from Dillinger out of the opening gate, where he gets the better of his opponent, and then, you know, everybody enjoys chanting 10 at the guy, and he flashes 10 in his opponent's face. After a short time, Murphy managed to cut off Dillinger and hit a big running punch in the corner for a two count, worked the heat on Dillinger for a short time being. This is where we got the announcement that Ciampa and Gargano versus the Revival had been made official. We finally got Dillinger working his way out of a rest hold, got a leg clutch pin attempt with that, and that's where he started his comeback. He hit 9 punches in the corner, jumped down, hit a super kick, and then connected with the 10th. Of course, 10. Then Dillinger lowered his knee pad and hit, instead of doing that running, sliding, single knee codebreaker thing that he does, he picked up Buddy Murphy over his shoulders and he hit that fireman's carry neck breaker that AJ Styles does. You know, fireman's carry, drop him over your knee. Ty Dillinger gets the pin in about 5 minutes. Replays aired. Dillinger held the ring in celebration as Murphy sat slumped at ringside. That was that. Instantly forgettable match. I mean, not bad while it lasted, but again, instantly forgettable. The commentators threw to Corey Graves a sit-down interview with Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. Balor struggled to answer the question from Graves as far as what was running through his mind in the seconds and moments after losing the NXT Championship, and lol, he just said, I can't answer that. I mean, obviously, I didn't see it coming, especially not at a house show. And then Graves said, "Do you have any regrets?" He said, "No, of course I have no regrets. I was the champion, and it's your job as champion to put that title on the line wherever and whenever, every single night. And, you know, what happened, happened." Samoa Joe said that not only did he accomplish what he wanted to, but more than that, he got what he deserved. He said that Finn Balor made him jump through all sorts of ridiculous hoops just to get the title shots that he rightfully deserved to begin with. Balor called him out in a sense of entitlement and just said, Joe, there are 100 guys who work harder than you at the Performance Center who are more deserving than you for a shot at that title. And Joe said, oh yeah, well then why isn't any one of them sitting here with this title over their shoulder if that's the case? He just scoffed at the idea that there's anybody who works harder or is more deserving. Not necessarily scoffed that there's somebody who works harder, but scoffed that there's somebody who's more deserving. Joe continued to accuse Balor of ducking him, just said, it took so long for me to get this title shot. You only survived the first couple times. You made me go so far out of my way to get title shots. I had to face Sami Zayn. I had to face all these guys who aren't even in my league just to get a shot at the title that I deserved a shot at to begin with. Finn Balor asked, Joe, what happened to the guy that I used to be friends with? What happened to the guy whose wedding I went to? Joe said, what happened to the guy who I got into New Japan? Where's the gratitude for me getting you into the New Japan Dojo? Balor said, you didn't get me anywhere. I got myself there through hard work. Balor admitted that, I survived the first two times that we got in the ring together, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I beat you both of those times. Joe said that, I have the advantage because I've been in a cage before and I'm a monster. Finn Balor, you've never been in a cage with a monster. Joe said that Balor, it won't be the first time that he needed medical attention and in the cage. It's certainly not gonna it, that that he's also gonna need medical attention in the cage, basically. He didn't say that it would be the last because, well, it's called the end. So I don't imagine that Joe's gonna be beating up Finn Balor very much after this in the near future. But yeah, Balor disagreed with the question that Graves said, do you think that you're risking your career getting into this cage against Joe? And Balor disagreed with the notion of the question and just said, Corey, this is my career. There's nothing else. This title means everything to me. Getting this title back is everything to me, and I will do whatever it takes to get it back. Joe said this is going to be the perfect opportunity to show Balor exactly where his place is. They bickered a little bit awkwardly. This is where things kind of, not that it went too long, but that they kept the cameras on them when maybe they shouldn't have, because this was kind of like, if you think of maybe like an old episode of Jerry Springer, where they kind of run out of new points to make or new arguments to make, and there's like awkward silence, and then they kind of half-heartedly argue their point again, and then there's that awkward silence, and they're, both kind of pooped out from arguing and maybe even throwing some slaps, and then, they say a couple little things, but nothing really, and it's just kind of awkward, and that's kind of how this ended. It didn't end on a very hot note, but as a whole, I did think it was a good interview segment to build up the main event. Again, this show just feels, this special just feels so plopped on the calendar. Not like it's, obviously there's been a great feud between Balor and Joe building in the past, 6 months or whatever. But it just doesn't feel like, yes, and the time for this feud to end is right around now. But again, it just doesn't feel like this really built to a crescendo before they got to this cage match. It just feels like they've been feuding, they've been feuding, they've been feuding, they're going, go, oh, and now it's time for cage match and it's gonna end. It's like, it's just, I don't know, it doesn't feel super, like well paced out, I guess is the best way to put it. We then went to a commercial, we came back, we got Elias Samson making his entrance, a chorus of boos, of course, and a caped Austin Aries was out next. Crowd did not want to see this match. Elias Samson grounded Aries in an armbar in the opening minute, and the crowd just booed relentlessly. Aries reversed and made it, locked in an armbar of his own. Less people booed, but there was still a few people just booing the hell out of it. Samson hit a cheap shot in the corner. Aries hit a series of arm drags. Samson cut Aries off and worked the match at his pace. Crowd chanted drift away. Aries worked back to his feet. Shin breaker, back suplex. Completely mounted his comeback here. Just beat the hell out of Samson. Chops, shots, clotheslines. Hit a diving back elbow off the second rope. Hit a big suicide dive to ringside. Came back into the ring. Rolling elbow. Drop kick in the corner. Neck breaker. Knees to the grounded Samson. And then he hooked in the last chancery for the win. Complete squash. Complete ass kicking for Austin Aries over Elias Samson in about 4.5 minutes. After the match, Aries cut a promo. He said, I've proven it time after time after time. Meanwhile, the crowd was chanting Nakamura. He said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. He said, at TakeOver, I'm going to put any doubt to rest. I'm going to take the spotlight off of Nakamura, and I'm going to put right back where it belongs, on me. And that was that. So, I don't know if this is the hard heel turn from Austin Aries, but, yeah, Aries was not, I mean, by default, he was the baby face in this match, but neither guy was really the baby face that much. And in there against Shinsuke Nakamura, Aries doesn't stand a chance of having one person cheer him. So now is as good a time as any. Might as well turn this guy heel. We got a contract signing for the main event. I'm sorry, for the title match between Asuka and Nia Jax, hyped for later in the show, as well as Ciampa and Gargano versus The Revival, hyped up next. And then we got another Andrade Cien Almas vignette airing. It was a little bit longer than the first one, but he still didn't reveal his face, and his debut was hyped for TakeOver at the end. Good, not a moment too soon. We got the entrances for the main event when we came back. This was Ciampa and Gargano versus The Revival, of course. We got the babyfaces using some nice tandem offense, getting the better of the heels early, but there was a distraction. I believe it was Dawson sent Ciampa out to ringside, distracted the ref. Dash kind of blindsided him, tossed Ciampa back in the ring. As we went to a commercial break and came back, that's where Dash and Dawson took control of Ciampa. They worked the heat on him for a short time. There were few points where Ciampa looked like he was going to make that hot tag. He sent Dawson bouncing off the ring post at one point at ringside. Got back in the ring, and just as he was about to make the tag, Dawson re-entered and cut him off. But finally, we got the hot tag a short time later. Gargano came in, just hot, all of his offense, double knees in the corner, rolling enziguri, slingshot spear. He hit, then Dash came into the ring, and he hit Dash with a kick, which allowed Dawson to take control. This was a great spot from Dawson, actually. Simple, but so great. He wound up like he was going to hit just a big punch on Gargano. Gargano ducked and covered, and as Gargano was doubled over, Dawson just grabbed him around the neck and dropped him with the DDT just super quick. I thought that was a killer looking spot. Dawson then hoisted Gargano onto the top rope. After a little back and forth, he hit a big top rope superplex, but as soon as they hit the mat, Gargano rolled, floated over, hooked Dawson in a small package, and got the surprise win about 7 minutes. Immediately after the bell, though, the Revival put a major beatdown on Gargano, disposed of him to ringside. Ciampa got in the ring, they laid him out with the shatter machine, set him up in position for that knee breaker that they used on Colin Cassidy a few months back, but before they could do the deed, American Alpha hit the ring, cleared Dawson from the ring, planted Dash with their alley-oop suplex, the Grand Amplitude, and that was that. I'm a little bit curious about the finish. I think the angle to close it was very good. I mean, this is what you would expect. The Revival beating guys down to a point where they shouldn't. American Alpha come in, make the save, and that's that. The feud comes to a head at their title match next week. But with Gargano and Ciampa get the win, I mean, the commentators noted during this match, if Gargano and Ciampa get the win here, they'd really set themselves up for a title shot down the line. My thought was, if Gargano and Ciampa win here, they at least set themselves up to be in that title match at TakeOver. I mean, I wouldn't be. I'm wondering, are they going to make this a three-way for the tag team title match at TakeOver? I mean, that would really make the most sense to me. It's not necessarily what I want to see because the Revival and American Alpha work so well together, just as a unit, as you know, four guys together. But with this win, I mean, why should Gargano and Ciampa have to wait when they beat one of the teams who's getting a title shot next week? I know it's the Revival's rematch clause, but Gargano and Ciampa deserve that in that match, so I guess time will tell. Came back into the and as for the match itself, it was a good match. It didn't have the at 7 minutes, it didn't have the chance to break into a gear that's going to make it ultra memorable or super good. But it was more than competent match. I mean, it was completely fine and picked up at points with some good offense and some good fundamental tag team wrestling. We came back into the arena where we had General Manager William Regal all set up in the ring with a table and the canvas over the ring mat and all that kind of stuff. First welcomed out challenger Nia Jax and then NXT Women's Champion Asuka. He noted that Asuka debuted only 9 months ago and then won the NXT Women's Championship about 2 months ago. He was carrying on, and then Jax took the microphone from him, just silenced him. Jax said, "Everyone is so scared of you, Asuka." "But I'm not." Jax noted that Asuka, Jax said, "Asuka, you may have beaten Bayley, but I broke Bayley. I broke the heart and soul of NXT." Jax said that, "Asuka, you've never faced anyone like me because there is nobody like me." She said, "I am the future and I am not scared of you, Asuka." And then she put pen to paper. Asuka took a microphone and said, "You talk too much." And she signed the contract herself. She then went on, she went off on Nia Jax in Japanese. Obviously, I have no idea what she said. But then she said, "If you're not scared of me, you should be." And she got right in Jax's face. Jax shoved her away. Asuka teed off with those rapid fire strikes that she does. But then when she went to finish it off with a round kick to the head, Jax caught her leg like nothing, hoisted her up, and planted her with a power bomb in the middle of the ring. Jax just scoffed, said, "Scared of that?" and walked out of the ring. Commentators questioned, "How can Asuka overcome Nia Jax?" And that was how the show closed. Short, sweet, and effective in a sense. I stand by my point that Asuka got over being a world beater, being an ass kicker, unstoppable, just force of nature, of kicks and submissions in that women's division. And she was. And then she won that title. And now she's every other lady who's ever been in that division. She works 50-50 matches with up-and-coming ladies. She gets laid out by Nia Jax, which, rightfully so for the character they're trying to portray Nia Jax as. I just think this is coming too soon. I think you could get a lot of momentum behind Asuka as champion, continuing her as that ass-kicker world beater. Who can beat this girl? Who can take the title from this girl? Nia Jax steps up. Yeah, I mean, not in, as the heel. You see kind of like the Finn Balor thing, Who can stop this guy? He's just on such a roll. He's so good. Asuka's not doing that right now, and she's still over, she's still great, but I think it's kind of hurting her. Just the buzz around Asuka is not what it was, even 3 months ago, whatever you want to say. Yeah, I mean, I liked the closing segment. I thought it was effective and simple. It didn't quite go the way that every contract signing goes. It was fresh enough. But again, I have a hard time getting super excited about this match, and I just don't think this is the ideal program for either lady at this point in time. Again, though, like I said at the top of the show, I thought that this show and the last week's show were effective at building up, with the short time that they have, building up next week's TakeOver special. And I am looking forward to it, though I'm not super pumped up about it. I know it's going to be a great show because of the matches that we have listed for it on paper. You've got the title match between Finn Balor and Samoa Joe in a cage. You've got Asuka versus Nia Jax. You've got the Revival versus American Alpha for the tag team titles. You've got the debut of Andrade Cien Almas. God, there's got to be something else I'm forgetting that's just not coming to mind right now. But I'm sure they'll fill out the card with, another match or two. But I just it doesn't again it doesn't feel like this show has really come to a crescendo before they decided to schedule this live special and make it a thing. So yeah, that oh okay, I'm sorry. And we also have Shinsuke Nakamura versus Austin Aries, of course. How could I forget? Which will also be great. So killer lineup on paper, not the most hype going into it, just as a timing thing, I think, but yeah, again, it's going to be a great show. So I unfortunately will not be here to cover that show on .NET. Jason Powell will be here. I'm going to be off to Mexico. Maybe when I get back, if it's not too late and relevant already, maybe I'll jump on some sort of audio and just give it a quick little recap, give my thoughts, whatever. Otherwise, I will be back in 2 weeks' time with my coverage and audio, as always. Although the audio will be for members, so go on over and sign up for ProWrestling.net membership, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Take care.